What if I woke up tomorrow and I just
fly?
I just knew telekinesis. How would we monetize that?
God dang it, that would be so sick.
Well, how would we go about
it? I gotta be honest, I would be so fucking jealous if you woke up with telekinesis and I woke up with literally nothing.
But you'd wake up with a cash cow. I think that's gonna be the opener after we clap off. I wanna actually dig in.
Would we steal money? I think we'd have to.
Well, that'd be an avenue, that'd be a possibility, but okay. Let's clap it off. This is worth a discussion.
Okay.
Welcome back to Weebology, students. I am your suddenly enhanced Professor Ricky.
Yo, I am so freaking hype, and I'm super, I feel accomplished.
Okay. And your name is?
Oh, Ethan. What's up?
So, if people listening to the clap off, the pre-clap off, what would we do? If I were to wake up literally tomorrow morning and have full, we're talking like Terrible Tornado, like Mob Psycho level, like telekinetic powers, how would we monetize that to our gain? Obviously YouTube, right? Like we have to.
Yeah, I think unfortunately what I fear would happen is like a Ricky Angel mind freak kind of scenario.
I would be Rick Angel. That's what would
right.
happen.
Yeah.
If I were to go the TBS route,
I'd just be worried that you just start wearing only black. You'd get like, you know, you'd paint your nails. You'd put like, I don't know, mascara like running down your face for whatever reason.
Well, I got to sell the image.
I'm Rick Angel, baby.
I'm Rick Angel. I'm going to mind frick ya. I'm just going to mind frick ya.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we totally like what I think. Okay. I've thought about this before. So if I were to wake up with telekinetic powers akin to maybe a Mob or a like, you know, a Terrible Tornado from One Punch Man. I'm forgetting her name, but I do remember her hero name.
Tatsumaki.
Thank you. I would probably join a weightlifting competition.
See, I think you would get found out so fast by the government and thrown in like a Supermax prison for like Supermax.
If you haven't listened to your Would You Rather episodes that we did a long time ago, go listen to that because we did this with Saitama. Like Would You Rather?
Yeah, but Saitama is a totally different world.
But what we said, Would You Rather have like a Sailor Moon transformation every time you want to use your powers, but you have Saitama strength, but the CIA knows your location at all times. So I feel like if you were to wake up tomorrow and start advertising your telekinetic powers, yeah, you'd probably get fucking found out. But how do you make money without getting found out necessarily?
Right. I just really think that there's no shot that they would like not recognize that. The difference with the Saitama thing is like he's so fast, no matter what happens, they can't catch him. And then secondly, he's literally invincible, so who gives a shit?
It's not about being found out. It's about that Saitama can literally outrun anything.
Exactly, right.
Okay, so like...
Also, maybe, like, they could like shoot him point blank with a fucking nuke and he'd be fine.
Nope,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'd be absolutely Gucci.
Whereas like Tatsumaki, I don't think has the same like ability as far as like if she gets hit with a nuke, I think she still probably dies.
There's some way that she gets cooked by light, sound, reverberation, something, right? Yeah.
But I do like it almost is like a little bit more like Elfin Lied, where like they're shooting all the guns at her and they're just like all the bullets are like stopping, you know what I mean?
Yes. I think like Tatsumaki would probably fare pretty well against the world's forces.
Absolutely. I think
but if they were to go nuclear,
largely, I think projectiles would be ineffective. Nuclear fission, however, I think would be a problem.
That's a universal force, buddy.
Right.
It's not going to work for everybody. But speaking of waking up with brand new powers, we are talking about a show today that honestly, like, was, I think you actually suggested it because I was like, okay, what have you watched recently? What are you looking at? And you would threw the show at me, and I'd never given it the time of day.
Oh, Richard.
But dare I say, this was one of the more fun ones that I have watched in the last couple of episodes.
Oh, Richard.
And man, does it really do a lot for the isekai and reverse isekai genres. And probably a poster child for how to subvert both in a way. But I'll get to that later. But Ethan, as always, would you do the honors?
Sure. So today we are talking about the Netflix original.
Yes.
Wow, that was a absolute stumble on Netflix. I think we should just keep running.
Leave that? All right,
Dude, I'm a man that is willing to make mistakes and is not worried about saying
it. Just leaving it on mic.
Absolutely.
Totally bare.
I've said some of the dumbest shit in my life in front of my boss before and just been like, yeah.
And it makes my life as the editor very easy to do.
Absolutely. So anyway, the Netflix original series by Atelier.Dach.
Jesus.
Which is a completely unknown studio.
Yep.
And it was a, I believe, 2022 spring and a 23 spring show.
I want to get into that.
Weirdly split up, but it's called An Uncle from Another World.
Yes, it was an interesting thing that I think it got some hype when it was announced because like people had been enamored by the idea of this synopsis. And to what I said earlier, it's like it even in the synopsis, it felt subversive. Like it was a really cool concept for tackling the isekai genre. You know, and I think only after viewing the entire thing, it really feels like it did that. It fully delivered on it. Like, I'm shocked at the way that it managed to not just subvert, but have really fun commentary on the entire genre of, like, isekais in general.
Yeah, I almost wonder, like, well, it seems like they weren't really trying to subvert things or just trying to point out directly, like, some of the big, like, hitter tropes throughout the genre.
Honestly, this felt, there's a very keen difference between parody.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, in my opinion.
It feels very much like there is a clear line between parody and satire. And parody is kind of making fun of the original works that it's doing. But satire kind of implies that there is some need for fixing certain elements of the genre.
Yeah, you're right. This is postmodern satirical comedy.
This is postmodern satirical comedy, I would say.
Probably
this
is irony in there somewhere.
This is literally post-isekai satirical comedy.
Damn, son. Yeah,
right there. Like, it is literally a show, to give the students some context, a certain individual had gotten like truck-cooned into a new isekai world. Like, literally, yes, truck-cooned. He got hit by a truck going to the grocery store.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that is literally what happened.
It's been so long since the first six episodes came out, I literally barely could tell you what happened in the first six.
Jesus. Like, that's it. That's very interesting. So, you're telling me that this show came out with six on Netflix and then another seven later?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know.
I actually hate that. I hate that 100%. So that's not like a double core split. That's like a gross, like, mid-season split.
What I'm wondering is that maybe an actually good business model to make sure people actually like this shit before you drop all 13?
But I would say the same philosophy for maybe a 24. Like, you drop the first 12, and then if people don't vibe, then you
kind of
sell
it off. I gotta be honest,
though,
this was like an absolute swing in the fucking dark from them, you know what I mean? Oh, like,
no,
a shot in the dark.
100%.
So,
it's shocking. When you see the studio that Ethan had mentioned, do you remember the name?
Atelier.Dach.
It literally is probably super close to that. But they have one other show, period. So the fact that this got picked up, like, in Netflix jail is a bit odd to me. I'm not sure how they pulled that off.
Well, I don't think it's Netflix jail if it's a Netflix original series.
Okay, so you think that they prescribed it rather than, like, it wasn't, like, license grabbed. It was prescribed by Netflix?
Well, even if it's a license grab, if they're the only ones that have the license, it's not jail because they're not, like, stopping it from coming out other places first. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. That's a fair take.
So I genuinely think what probably happened is they're like, damn, this is a real shot in the fucking dark. Let's do six, see if people actually vibe, and then we'll do the rest of the seven. Or, I mean, we all know that there's like a bunch of shit still going on in Japan as far as like studio strikes and overworking and stuff like that. Maybe because Atelier Point d'Arc is so tiny, maybe they literally just have like the one guy got sick and they're like, well, reckon I'll put this out next year.
They made a deal. They made a quick deal with like, oh, you guys literally don't have the staff to finish the other half of the season. We'll give you some space. Give us the first six just to give people the taste. And then
we're completely like talking out of our ass here because there's zero information about this.
True, true.
So like, I guess take it all with a grain of salt. I'm just wondering like, while of course, if I just got a lot of shows with six episodes and I didn't get the end, I would be pretty fucking pissed. Like, sometimes I feel like it might be good to just get six, realize how absolute garbage what they're making is, and then stop, kind of a thing. Like, for instance, I just watched
Ragnarok.
Ideally, fact that that's gotten a second season, it's still dog shit is absurd.
I'm told that it is a marginally, not substantially better season.
No, it's dog shit.
Okay, you.
Yes, I don't know.
You put eyes to it.
I don't know who the fuck's smoking that bullshit.
My anime list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
those reviews. They're the ones.
They're smoking a bowl of something.
They're smoking a bowl of Ragnarok for sure.
Of ramen.
Of ramen for sure.
But. Like, for instance, like, what about that Harem in Another World show? Ended up being horrific.
But that's one of those ones that gets sold as, like, I can't believe this is not hentai kind of thing. Like,
well, it was hentai as well.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of hentai, yeah.
I'm just saying there's a unrated version.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's clearly...
a show I'm about to finish is called Death March Rhapsody or something.
That sounds slightly familiar.
We talked about it. So it's basically this guy who was he was in a death march at work. So in Japan, that basically means like they're in the office nonstop to get to their like final coding deadlines and
so
stuff.
So it's like an office dramedy of sorts?
No. So he's like putting in so much work for like weeks and weeks and weeks in a row that he just goes to sleep under his desk and then pops into the games that he was making.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, and then regular harem bullshit happens, but it's just like such a like after getting in the game, such a boring fucking show that it's just like honestly after six, they should just realize like this isn't gonna happen.
So you're okay. So the fact that there are some IPs that do exist in the world, I mean, I don't know why I'm talking surprised. Of course, there's plenty of IPs.
What about X Arm? Did that deserve more than six episodes in your opinion?
That deserved two. Period. Like, I don't even give that one the religion of three. Fuck that shit.
I don't know why anyone would have picked up that. First of all, I don't think the IP in general is very, like, interesting. And then secondly, like, after they saw, like, a screen test of the first episode, I've been like, fuck this.
I was disoriented. Yeah, I was disoriented when I saw my first episode.
Yeah.
We've gone way off topic, but yes.
Well, not really. We're just talking about why it was weird that there were six episodes, a massive break,
right,
and then seven
right.
episodes.
As I'm saying, that they managed to have this weird release schedule for something that, honestly, like, I'm fortunate that I got to watch it all 13 episodes straight because, damn, that was a really fun package.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really fun package. So, like, a little bit of the context for the students. Like I had mentioned, 17 years ago, a 17-year-old kid gets hit by Truckoon. He's out here doing his fucking business. He gets relocated to another world. If only there was a word for that.
Yeah, Truckooned.
Truckooned. Yeah, he got truckooned. Let's go. So this guy goes. You got truckooned, baby. He got moved to another world, and then he was given a boon by God, and that boon was a little more than advantageous than he expected, which is a pretty common trope for isekais. Like we've seen recently with like the farming isekai and some other ones where. The boon that you get, you don't expect to be super overpowered, but he suddenly becomes super overpowered. And 17 years goes by. An entire isekai under our nose. But the show starts with our main-ish character, Takafumi, who has been visiting his uncle in a coma for 17 years. And suddenly, this man wakes up. And fun fact, he has all of the boons that he had from his other world. He is an isekai MC that has been reverse isekai'd back into his world by his own means. We only find out later, but we don't understand quite why or how yet. But he comes back. His nephew is a bit of an otaku himself. He wants to capitalize on his uncle's not newfound, but recently delivered magic abilities into the non-magical world that we live in. And he basically is a live-in uncle in his apartment. And you get a lot of really interesting, almost slice of life comedy mixed with an actual isekai that this uncle can show via like his memory, like plasma screen that he can like project with magic, which he can do in the real world because he's been in an isekai world for nearly 18 years. So what the fuck?
Right. So
what an interesting concept.
It's like a kind of fun because you're watching people watch basically like an anime on a screen, which would sound horrifically boring if you just say the words. But actually watching it is like so unbelievably enjoyable. I think it's because it honestly, and this sounds so stupid, but it really feels like you're watching it with them and you're like, dude, I totally agree. What the fuck?
Okay, let's we got to break down this like just the concept alone requires a couple layers. Like one, yes, to your point, the synopsis of this show sounds stupid as fuck. Like it really does. This old ass uncle in his 30s finally wakes up out of a coma and like doesn't operate very well in the real world and only knows the shit he's learned for the last decade and a half plus change. But at the same time, when you kind of think about it, that leads to a lot of very interesting ideas. Like, how can magic be monetized? How can we have these interactions between a kid that grew up barely knowing his uncle and then having to rekindle a relationship in the real world with a guy who's lived in a place that has known nothing but magic and fantasy for a literal half of the guy's life up to now? Like he's known nothing as an adult but magic and fantasy.
And Sega.
Number two, that is a really good element because this uncle is a very much an otaku or a weeb or just a nerd of his own right, of his own day. So he comes back thinking like, okay, I want to play Sega Saturn. Where's the Sega Saturns at? Like, how far have we gotten with that? And he's like,
I think he was more like, so Sega must have a really sick new system
that's
out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, what's the Sega Saturn 5? And Takafumi, his nephew, is like,
oh no, bud.
Yeah, buddy, I don't know how to tell you this, but Sony and Nintendo got that shit on lock now. And then he just crumbles. Like, just absolutely freaks out. Like, you mean Sonic and Tails is not a thing anymore? And as a Sonic the Hedgehog fan, in 2023, I'm like, they do have games. They're trash. I love them, but they're trash. But Sonic Frontiers is at least trying to pull the Breath of the Wild angle. Not worth going into right now. Go listen to my episode of the Anime Summit on cinematography. That was fun. But all that being said, you have this weird dynamic between an uncle or a guy who has lived a magical and fantastical life, able to use the magic he brought back from the other world. But then you have Takafumi, his nephew, having to re-educate the guy on like 17 years of history. So from like 2000 on the dot to 2018, the guys know nothing about what has happened. And that makes for some awesome character dynamics, just from a comedic standpoint, right off the bat.
Yeah, I think he left in the mid-80s. So
I thought he left in literally the year 2000, because in 2018, like the show takes place about a couple years prior to ours, because the manga was written in like 2017 or 18.
Well, Sega was out when he was
In 2000, the Dreamcast was very much around.
Abso-fucking-lutely not.
We were eight, dude. I remember playing the Dreamcast. That was when we fucking played Nintendo 64, and the Dreamcast was the competitor at the time. Oh, what? Do not challenge me on this.
I've played them, too. It just does not feel right at all.
Yeah, aging doesn't feel right, buddy.
No, when I was, like, young, they felt like old systems versus the, like, GameCube.
Well, yeah, the Sega Genesis and Saturn might have, but the Dreamcast did feel old because it was dated, because Sega could not produce the same, fidelity that the Nintendo 64 could. I can get into gaming
console history. It just seemed like he was, like, so confused by the internet where, like, in 2000 it existed.
In so much as it did then, right? Like, he had AIM chat. He had, like, MS Instant Messenger. He didn't have the concept of a smartphone. That came out in 2007. Like, that's when that happened.
Yeah.
He didn't even understand what a smartphone was.
I mean, once again, you saw the beginning part recently. I saw it literally last year. So.
Totally fair. He was like, the Dreamcast was the new motherfucker on the block. Who's next? Like, do I have the Sega Vulcan 1? And Takafumi's like, nah, man, we got, like, the PS4 now, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. We got the Switch coming up soon. I don't know what to tell you, but, like...
But I do think it's a really cool, I think, analog and, like, an interesting tie to be brought together, where you think about, like, the super nerds in the 80s were all into, like, fucking video games, right? And that was, like, so weird and so, like...
To your point, he is a child of the 80s. Like, he truly was a child, right, that grew up with, like, Sega Genesis and stuff. So, yes, that was his nerd culture, which is why he's a huge Sega nerd.
But it's just interesting that, like, now the, like... Or I guess not now. Now I'd say anime is pretty fucking synonymous with like, Gen Z...
Oh,
in general,
like, I wouldn't even call it niche. It is mainstream as fuck for a couple shows.
Maybe just a little bit before our generation, anime was like the super under the radar kind of like
absolute subculture energy.
Right, subculture.
Like, yeah, like underneath everything.
And so that,
sure,
like, I guess tie in to previous video game culture is very interesting to me, because it really is. It does feel like sort of like the second coming of that idea.
So I wanted to bring that up a little bit, too, is that, like, we'll get into his memories in a second, but you notice that a lot of the tropes that we, like, as professors, we have been accustomed to...
As 45-year-old men.
As 55-year-old tenured boys.
As 70-year-old Apache helicopters.
We're 120 years old. We've been here for so long.
I'm a raptor.
You basically a raptor. Your skin is so dry. So dry. But he grew up, all of the tropes that he took that, like, he applied in his other world came from his perception of video games growing up. But from Takafumi and Fujimiya, like, they saw it from anime trope perspective. Like, these things are recycled. Which is a really interesting play, is that he grew up playing video games that had these tropes, but he never really got the heyday of anime.
Right. You know?
But, like, Takafumi and Fujimiya did. And they see the same tropes, but through the perspective of, like, tsunderes and fantasy battles and isekai shit. And, like, they're having a moment of us anime fans watching this guy's real isekai memories and having a commentary on those memories as if you were an anime watcher.
Right.
Which is a really interesting, and I think I'm going to
say, well done,
truly novel take on the idea. Because as we've obviously alluded to, this uncle has magic, so he literally has the ability to recall not just memories of himself, but others. So he's able to replay his adventures for his nephew and his lady friend, which... His nephew's lady friend, yes.
Yeah, that seemed like maybe you were talking about the uncle's lady friend, and I just wanted to be very clear up front.
Well, he has transformation magic. He can make that happened for himself.
He is just absolutely a loner till the day he fucking dies in the real world.
Yeah, so he's showing these images, 1080, dare I say 4K images, of his old adventures, his memories from his isekai world, and the nephew and the nephew's lady friend get to experience them as if we, you and I, Ethan, get to experience anime.
Right.
So we have this weird element of an isekai MC showing his adventures. So essentially an isekai in a show where his nephew, who has never experienced this stuff, gets to watch this and have his own commentary. And then his lady friend joins midway through the season and then also has her commentary on not just the commentary of the isekai that's being shown to us, but Takafume's like reaction to said isekai.
Right.
We have like a weird amount, and I really don't like using this word because it does feel pretentious, meta commentary. Like, it really genuinely is several levels of meta commentary.
Yeah,
on
they
the
just won't
genre.
Stop talking about Facebook.
Well, just so they talk about like Facebook and like
Instagram.
They,
it's
I
just,
think they
it's
said
disgusting.
They said graffiti wall like four times. It's so weird they did that. But I don't know. What was your thought on that? On the take of that? Because I think there was some things I was not a huge fan of, but there was a lot that I've loved about the idea of like having this like audience conduit that was so on its like face.
Well, what I think is really cool about it is like typically in a show where an isekai guy comes back, they have no way of like directly imparting what happened to them to like people around them, right? Like I think of like there's this fucking show like Rogue Aesthetica or something.
Beats me, man.
Shit. I don't know. So this guy, he was in this whole isekai world. He became like super duper strong, like beat the fucking demon lord or whatever the issue was, comes back to real world, and he's just like stupid strong. I mean, this is like every manhwa that's come out in the last 5 years is all similar to this. And he's super strong, but they have no way of explaining what really happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't impart 18 years of isekai shit to other people, right?
That's for some a lifetime of knowledge. Like,
right. Or like, there's this show, I think the guy spends like 10,000, or this manhwa, this guy, everybody else gets taken to a tutorial and he's the only one left in the world. And so he spends 10,000 years just learning every fucking thing you could possibly learn.
And then he comes back.
And then everybody shows back up. And then everyone's just like, where the fuck were you, dude? And he's like, I can't explain to you 10,000 years worth of stuff, right?
Holy shit.
So the point that I'm trying to make, this is like very rambly, is that it is the first time I've seen a show where they're like giving the actual main character, and I think Uncle in this case is the main character, a way of actually like imparting the exact like first person, I guess it's really third person, view of what exactly happened to them in the other world. And it's even cooler because he's just like so inept in terms of like social situations that he's like sometimes a complete asshole on accident. You know what I mean? Like, there's just like so much fun stuff. There's like super cringe shit that happens. There's like really fun, like romance stuff that happens. There's like stuff where like typical MC just like completely dead to the idea of like all these people are like into him. I think one thing that was really cool, and we talked about this with Tsukamichi as an isekai, is he shows up in the world and is treated as like subhuman because of how fucking ugly he is.
That, yes, right there is where I wanted to go into.
But it's very funny because they think he's like so ugly he couldn't be human. He's got to be an orc.
Yes. Okay. So this is a great kind of like segue into like my preface before we get into the isekai shit, because this show does this really fascinating concept that other shows have done in the past, I will freely admit. But like, there, I think most good shows of this nature has like an A plot, a B plot, and then sometimes a good C plot. This show, if I were to label those things, The A plot is an uncle had come back from a coma and suddenly he was in an isekai world, but bing bong, he's got magic. And he and his nephew is going to fucking capitalize it like a fucking millennial does. But the B plot is the actual isekai that he's remembering. And then the C plot, which you don't often get, the C plot is this weird budding romance. I wouldn't even call, you know what? Budding was the wrong word because Takafumi's like cutting it off at every pass. But the romance between Takafume, the nephew, and Fujimiya, and like the longtime childhood friend that grew up and became like a girly girl.
A fucking stunner.
She's an absolute dime piece.
Like it's unbelievable.
An absolute disrespect for the entire show because I was just like, God, she's attractive.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Okay, so this is another fun thing that you don't often get to see. You get to see the actual past from the like perspective of Takafumi because Uncle is able to use his memory magic to show Fujimiya herself as a little kid. And she's like, holy shit, I was a demon.
Yeah,
you know
she's
what I mean?
A fucking demon. So the B story had a huge contribution to the C story.
Right.
What a weird like amount of attention to give to what would be a secondary and tertiary plot to the primary of
quintariary.
Oh my God. Quintariary?
Yeah.
Are we going to go D plot? Is that what we're going to do?
There's actually an E plot.
There is a little bit of a D plot with like the other chick. It's not important.
Double D plot with
okay. Technically it is a double D plot.
And Mabel.
I'll give you that one. Yeah. A little bit of Mabel. So
Mabel,
the, what you had
I was watching Bo Furry. So I keep saying Mabel.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that was what we're gonna do before we did this.
Right.
Yeah.
Still might.
Well, we will. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. Eventually. So you do have like these three plots operating at the same time in pretty like clean fashion, but then they will take precedence in a way that feels completely natural. Like sometimes the C plot of the real world budding relationship between the childhood friend and the nephew suddenly will take an A plot for like 3 minutes of an episode. And then suddenly the uncle will say like, oh, this reminds me of the time I almost got assassinated. And
yes.
They're like, whoa, what the fuck? Wait, hold on a second. Then the B plot gets the A plot.
Right.
Route. And then you have this like, you almost have three plots that can suddenly be intertwined as the most primary thing that you care about. And I don't know about you, I was down to watch any of those plots at any time.
Absolutely.
Like they suddenly pivot to like the most important thing is like, how do we make the next YouTube video? Or what's the next story in your isekai? Or how does this chick want to operate her next move to Takafumi the nephew? So like you never really felt like you were watching something that was lesser than the other because this show did such a good job of making you care about all three of them.
Absolutely right.
At all times.
I totally agree.
It was what a weird and that's a razor's edge. That's such a razor's edge to find and they found it. And I'm so happy that they did.
Yeah, and I think even beyond that, one thing about like the uncle's I guess not personality, but the way that he's like thinking like reminiscing to himself about like all these times that things happen and they're like, wait, what the fuck?
His nonchalantness.
But it's like it's the perfect way to get people interested in something. But
yes,
he's not doing that on purpose.
Of course, he's not.
Which is like extra good about it.
We'll get into the isekai part in a second. But the uncle does nothing on purpose,
right?
Literally. But everything he'll do is like he'll either help the C plot or he'll help the A plot.
He's like, yeah, it's you know, sometimes if you could turn into a dragon, you'll just stay like that forever until
like,
somebody stops
the
you.
Fuck?
They're like, why do you know that? He's like, well, I was a dragon for a whole fucking month. They're like, what?
You were a dragon for 30 days and you're just telling us now? But that's, again, he's already told you he's had 17 years of life. Like, he's had so much time. And then those times where like, hey, I just made this YouTube video. Oh, it popped off the 3 million views. I tell you about that time I almost got accosted by like a royal guard in like the biggest city in this other world. And both of them being the weebs that they are just like, No, you should fucking tell me how that goes.
And he actually, just show
his,
me.
Yeah, just show me. He pulls up a 4K monitor, and we get the, like, the second half of the episode will be the retelling of that exact tale, but it originated at the uncle nonchalantly saying, oh yeah, there was that one time I got, like, captured by, like, royal guards, and yeah, they're like, we want that. And then when I watched the second half of that episode, I'm like, yeah, I wanted that too.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I didn't know that I wanted that. It's so fucking sick. Because, like, we'll go into the ESA cop part. Like, it's... God damn, I could watch that show. Like, his isekai journey, I could watch that. Because I love the idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. So it does feel like,
yeah,
like a Swiss roll of content.
Yeah.
Where there's like that inner roll, then there's the fucking cream on the outside, and then there's another roll of chocolate.
And then when it all spirals together, there's like a cream center. Like,
and
right,
I would eat
middle.
Any of those pieces.
Yes, I want all that.
In fact, I did just consume all three pieces at once.
Did you eat a box of Swiss rolls in the...
That's not what I mean.
I think you did, though.
I did not.
We'll
I ate see. A lot of ice cream, though.
Okay, there
a
it is.
Sickening amount of ice cream.
When you talk about sweets on stream, I know you've eaten something crazy.
Yeah.
It's literally 100% of the time.
Yeah, a little sugar on the mind.
A little sugar on the mind.
Sugar but night.
The isekai he remembers is honestly fucking great.
Yeah,
like, the idea of, like, an OPMC who is fucking, like, ugly as all sin, right? Like, literally,
they
by all accounts,
orc face?
Yeah, orc. Literally, everyone in his world for 17 years at best called him orc face. At normal, they were just
sold him into slavery.
Yeah, they sold him into slavery. They were scared of him.
For
they
three
tried to
copper
just,
pieces.
Yeah, they literally, he was so ugly, they thought he was an orc variant. So many civilizations are like little villages, literally trying to beat him to death. Like, what the fuck?
He got sold into slavery for 1/3 of a yen.
Yes, he got sold for 3 cents.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Right.
So, but you have this guy who is persevering. It does have a tint of Shield Hero.
Actually, it's 3/10 of a cent. 100 yen is a dollar.
So this man got sold for literally 1/3 of a penny, is what you're telling
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
They had to cut that penny. Like, they had to cut that
Ouch.
To sell it. That sucks for him.
Yeah, so there's actually this scene later where Takafumi is like, you're so nice to elders in the real world. Why are you, like, super not cool to them in isekai land? And he's like, well, it's pretty easy to be nice to people when they treat you like a human being. And
I
it's like,
that. I
oh,
that.
Fuck.
And they both are just like, oh, shit. And
they're like, fair enough.
That's a really good point.
So actually, quickly, I watched it dubbed, of course, the second half because
some,
it was
I
g- out.
I gave some dub a little bit of the love today.
It was only in sub originally.
Okay.
So I watched the first 6 in sub, and then I watched the last 7 in dub.
I don't know if this is going to be based or a bit, like, prejudiced, but I liked the male voices. I was not a fan of the female voices in the dub. They all felt the same to me. Like, the at least...
So I do feel like, and this is potentially just me,
okay,
but
okay,
female voice actors in anime are, they do try very hard, it feels like, to do the same voice.
But I the thing is, I got a little bit of a different vibe from the elf, a little bit from Alicia, a little bit from Mabel. Like, I felt like they, in the sub, they all had a bit of, like, acoustic identity to them. But
so,
like,
Mabel was very unique in the dub.
I did notice that. At least she did stand up out more a bit. But they all sounded like 5 years older than what they were advertised in the show. And it didn't feel to me like they were, like portraying. And this is something I don't often do, is really do, like, a full sub and dub. But this one had a notable difference. Mabel was different, to your point. She was different. She had a much more alto, like a lower voice. But the other two, Alicia and the elf... And we do say the elf because her actual given name is like 27 syllables. This isn't a joke. Like, it literally is 27 syllables. It's fucked up. but they all felt the same. Mabel was a bit different, but at least in the sub, they all had different timbres and different, I don't know. It felt like they were their own character. If I were to shut my eyes, I could tell you who they were in sub. I don't know if I could do that in dub.
I think I probably could.
Yeah, you've been listening to dub for a while, though.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, you could probably make that work. Yeah.
Yeah.
To your point, that I think that all the female characters, though, from a story perspective, were really fun. And weirdly enough, made for a classic harem. You had your a tsundere with a yandere energy in the elf.
Baby.
You had it. So, okay, maybe I'm going too ahead of myself. Let's talk about the isekai that this guy.
I mean, we're 40 fucking minutes in. I wouldn't say you're too ahead of yourself.
Well, I want to give the larger isekai a little bit of love. The guy had been transported to another world after getting hit by our boy Truckoon, and he was basically given, like, you have one gift or boon you can get from God. He didn't get it quite yet, but he arrived, and people mistaked him because he's ugly as fuck. Was an orc variant, aka a beast of the land. They tried to beat him to death, and his wish to the god was, if only I had complete comprehension of language, then I can communicate with them and make friends. So that wish was granted. Turns out that wish actually is pretty fucking sweet in this world, because not only does he commune with all humans, and not only all animals, but all spirits. So his magical ability wasn't because he was endowed with some huge amount of mana or an incredible amount of, like, knowledge of this magic system. He can commune with spirits in a way that was more, you know, high fidelity than anyone else. So he could just invoke some divine magic all the time. And they always seem to respond. You notice that even in the real world, like, they were always super chill. They're always like, yeah, buddy, we got you. Like, he was talking to them in the real world.
Right. He was talking to them on his Nokia.
Yeah, he bought, because he doesn't know shit, he didn't buy a smartphone. He bought one of those phones that, like, will swivel up.
Yeah.
And he, like, will talk to spirits like, hey, wind spirit, I need a little bit of magic real quick. Oh, how's your mom doing? Oh, yeah, mom doing's good.
Okay, like, small talk.
Sick. Yeah. Tell her I said hi for me.
Yeah, the weather's nice.
Yeah. Well, it's great in this world.
It's been raining a couple days in a row, though.
Yeah, but give me a couple spells real quick.
It'd be nice if you could, like, blow that old rain away.
You just want to, like, just do that real quick. Can I get, like, 5 spells? Oh, 6. Okay, sick. Click, buy, not click, swivel.
Yeah.
And then he will just, like, bust out some fucking insane magic on planet Earth. So, like, he has the ability to talk to spirits, not just in his own world, but through dimensions. So, yes, this show that we're getting to watch in this show, through the memories of this guy who's lived 17 years in an isekai world, I would watch the isekai he remembers more than some I've watched recently.
Absolutely.
Like, it's actually a good, like, he's ugly as fuck.
To be honest, it felt very much like a Tsukemichi. Like, honestly, like...
Thank you.
That was pretty much what happened.
It's like Shield Hero, but instead of the shield, it's his face. Like, that's what... Like, he's hated by everyone because of his face.
No, I'm pretty depressed about Shield Hero.
Oh.
Season 2 is so bad.
I didn't mean to bring it up for you.
So bad and unfun.
I know that's a rough topic for you, buddy.
And hard to even, like, think about.
I didn't want to have... to make you think about
it. I guess the episode's done. Thank you for that.
Yeah, but it is an apt analogy.
It's over.
Oh, this episode's over?
Professionally.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yes.
The whole thing? Wow.
I quit my job.
I guess fuck me then. But yeah,
fuck Shield Hero.
Fuck Shield Hero then. The entire isekai that we got given through the memories of the uncle, and through the conduit, actually, of his nephew and his lady friend, was not just fun, but it was, like, almost cathartic, because we were getting all of the random commentary we would have gotten as the viewers of a mid-isekai through them, so we already got the commentary out of the way. So they were just saying, like, oh my god, that's a fucking trope. Like, this guy was born in the 2000s. he doesn't know what a tsundere is.
Right.
So his main love interest, this guy was building a harem. Let's make that fucking clear. He was building a harem, but he didn't know what a tsundere or a yandere or any kind of dere at all. Like a dere dere, like they don't, he doesn't know what that is. Like those things don't exist to him. So while we watch this.
But he does know what a Duran Duran is.
Oh, he knows what a Duran Duran is for sure, dude. 85,
boy.
That man grew up with that shit for sure. So the comedy comes from like this almost like meta awareness of like him fucking up in an isekai, him rejecting offers, him being daft as fuck like an isekai MC do. But we get to learn that through the lens of his nephew Takafume and his lady friend, and like they are all commentating like, oh my god, this is such a fucking like old trope, like he should be saying X and Y and he doesn't, and they get fucking upset. Like it's so funny, their commentary on like they're watching it in isekai anime, like a really kind of mid isekai anime from their perspective.
I think it's even cooler though, because they're able to directly like talk to the MC of the show that they're watching.
Right. So they'll
be like, why the fuck did you do that?
Like they'll have like literally his, what would look like a main love interest in an isekai harem, like a show, like the MC has his main love interest, like gets this main love interest back to his room in the inn and completely fucks it up. Every single time. And they're all literally about to pass out. They're just like, the uncle.
There's a lot of fan service.
There is a good bit of fan service. There is.
But like in a tasteful way. Because he's so fucking inept.
Yes. He's tasteful because he doesn't act further at all. Ever. Not that he wouldn't want to, just that he doesn't know how. And like, his nephew,
I don't know that it's not, he doesn't know how. He like is unaware of even being in a situation where it would be viable.
Yes, that's a better way to put it.
Yeah,
but like,
he's
to your point, like that's the daftest like isekai MC ever. Like I'm thinking like Belle from like Danmachi. Yeah, Belle from Danmachi. Like literally is getting fawned on by gods and humans alike, and he doesn't know what the fuck to do with that information. And if someone were to watch that as like a fourth dimensional commentary, they'd be like, what the fuck is this kid doing?
Belle, fucking
Belle.
Score, bro. Score.
You fucking idiot. She's literally on your bed, dude. That's what this show is.
Touch fucking down, boy.
Yes. Don't touch grass. Touch down. Touch down right now.
Touch ass.
Don't touch grass.
That's literally where
touch
I thought
ass.
You were going.
That's I went pivoted.
Yeah,
too far out. But I love that because it's like we see the daftness, and we will actually tell you students that the daftness makes it annoying.
I think you're stuck on daftness. This is the 15th time you said the word.
Not aloofness, but
actually, yes.
No, it's not aloof though.
100,000,000% is aloof.
Aloof implies that you understand what's going on, but don't care.
No.
Yes, 100%. To be aloof is to not care, but you may have an awareness of what's going on.
I don't think it has anything to do with awareness. Like it is, I think specifically related to not being aware of how, basically, apathetic you're being to a situation.
We are not linguistes, but if you want to correct me
but
or Ethan, go into the Discord, patreon.com/shubology, $1 and up gets you into the Discord, and you can tell me or Ethan that we're wrong. How's that? Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if I cut that or not. But all that being said, we are getting kind of this weird filter from an arguably solid isekai being projected onto other characters that are already providing the like chaff level commentary, like the basic stuff. They're applying their wrinkles for the audience so we can digest what's left, which is rather interesting, right? They say the obvious shit. That's a clear trope.
Right.
That is a tsundere. That is a yandere. Like they know they're saying that so you don't have to think it. And then you're left to wonder, like, is the uncle actually a good hero or not? Is the nephew getting what the uncle's doing.
Well, what I think is really, really cool, and this is spoiler-esque, is that the main character uncle, his entire like thought process is, I'm going to make the biggest fucking explosion I can in order to try to rip a hole in space-time to get back home.
The Megami special. The Megami special from Konosuba.
Even past what she's doing.
Oh, no, yeah. He's literally trying to make an explosion bigger than reality that he's in.
Right.
Like, so, it's fucked up.
But, like, you think, like, wow, he's doing being very aggressive in certain situations. But it's like he isn't because he's an asshole. He's doing it because he's literally trying to blow a hole in the side of the world so he can go back to his own world.
Yes, his entire objective is to go back to Japan. So he's
which is like I think pretty novel in its own right, because a lot of times, at least currently in isekais, people will be like, "Yeah, I do want to go home, but I'm really enjoying myself here." But he's having such a shit time because he's orc face that he's like, "Fuck this." And like doesn't even realize these three hotties are all over his toddy.
That's the best part, I think, of the B-side isekai story, is that he has every single chop to keep him in the isekai world. He has a harem that, in spite of all of his... Fuck, fine. I'm going to do it one more time. Daphnis. He, that's the last time.
I thought you were going to say aloofness.
No, fuck that.
It's but, totally but right.
In that mode, he has these three beautiful women fawning over him. He has all the magical...
In fact, he's accidentally proposed to each of them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He's accidentally proposed. He's given a ring to all three. And
a ring worth more than a country.
Yes, he said you can literally sell the ring on your finger and be good for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, not even a problem. So he has that going for him. He has all the magical ability because his ability to commune with the spirits, which is way higher fidelity than anyone else in this world can do. Like, they call it divine power in the world that he's from, but people have only had a taste. He literally can commune with divine power. It's so fucked. Like, he is so OP, but the only thing holding him back is his own inability to understand social situations and a face that looks like a grandpa. And yet, it never felt like he wanted to go back to Japan because of his shortcomings. He just wanted to go back. Like, that was the one other thing that I found very interesting. In this world where he had all these boons and the banes seemed to be overcome very quickly because the harem didn't care, the people eventually didn't care, like, he still performed and was a hero, but he still wanted to go back anyway. So it never felt like it was, like, because he hated where he was.
Well,
that was just his mode.
I think it's mostly because he was treated as so subhuman as well.
He has alluded to that a couple times,
like the,
with his
the
with
second
his
he gets there, they try to beat the shit out of him and sell him to jailers. Is like, I mean, I would be instantly turned off to any isekai world if that happened to me.
Well, what's funny then, in that light then, in the face of his boons, he was so scarred by that first encounter or those subsequent encounters of, like, people, like, giving him prejudice then, like, in the face of the boons that would keep a typical isekai
MC
in the world,
right. Exactly right.
He still is like, nah, fuck this. Like, I'm too ugly for this place. Which, again, is actually kind of a fucking great commentary on isekai worlds, because, like, people go there all the time, and you think, like, Subaru and, like, other isekai, like Kirito, like, they're bland as fuck, but they're just getting fawned over by women because of their skill. This happens here. He gets fawned over by women because of his skill and heroism, but he still was like, I don't want to be here. I'm too ugly for this shit. What a practical fucking look at, like, an isekai world.
Right.
I love that. Like, everything about this is clearly a satire, not parody, but a satire on isekai. But it's told through the lens of a guy who's already done it all and kind of went through all the tropes. So we're seeing it from his nephew's point of view and his nephew's lady friend's point of view. And, like, we're looking at it like he doesn't get what Tsundere is. He doesn't get what this chick is doing right now. So we almost have a...
He's, like, dangerously pragmatic.
Yeah. It's almost like it's approaching cautious hero, right? He isn't quite doing the cautious hero thing where it's like, I have to do 1,000 pushups before I go fight that dragon again. But he's doing the cautious hero thing with social interactions, not combat. Like, he does that exact thing.
I kind of wonder if it's not because he's treated so badly from the rip that even when, like, Elf is being ostensibly nice, because she has that, like, double edge of the tsundere,
he doesn't know about the tsundere.
She thinks I'm fucking disgusting and being, a pain in my ass kind of thing.
But the big but there is that
Elf had a big butt. I get it.
The elf did have she got that fat ass.
Nah,
though.
They were fine. They were fit. They're fit as fuck, mate.
Oh, they're fit. They're absolutely top to bottom good to go. But the one thing I did notice is that it never occurred to me that he seemed to want to get out because of, like, his shortcomings in that world, right? He seemed to take all of the, like, you're ugly as an orc on the chin really well. I don't know if that was because he just didn't get it. I think part of the comedy was because he didn't get it. But that does open a different question about this character. Is like, did he really, like, because remember his, like, mantra, or at least two of them, was the strength to carry on is your power, and just a pinch is a chance. So it's clear that he has a very isekai MC mindset. I wonder, did he actually care that he was ugly as fuck in this other world? Or was that such a huge memory stick that he had to get out?
I do think if your only goal is to leave the place, everyone's opinion of you would be, like, uninteresting and unimportant.
True. He never advertised that he was, like, actively trying to get out to at least people of power. That was the one thing.
Well, like, yeah, but if you're just, like, doing your thing, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, like, he's so one-track mind, I'm going to get out of here. It doesn't matter what any of these other people think of you. Like,
so he dug in and he's not going to change.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, got you. Okay, so he's like already his first, like, oh, they think I'm as ugly as sin. I need to get the fuck out of this world. And he never just, like, undug from that.
Right, exactly right.
Interesting. Okay. And that I can buy. And that's the best part about this show, is because we learn about the uncle's character when he is in something more pedestrian. We learn about the person. But then we get these, like, That's part of the jarring, I say jarring comedy, but that's a good thing. Like, it's almost like a moment where, like, hey, did you guys hear about the time I was almost assassinated? And they're both like, what the fuck did you just say? Are you shitting me? And then the other half of the episode is the story about how he almost got assassinated, but it's always ending in him doing something fucking dumb to, like, completely, like, devoid the tension away from the story.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
So who is your favorite character?
Jesus. I was honestly a big fan of Takafume.
Really?
The nephew. And I'll tell you why. Because he had this weird double role of, like, being keenly aware of all of his uncle's shortcomings as a MC in this, like, isekai world, not understanding that the tsundere is clearly coming on to him, or Mabel is, like, the feeble one coming on to him. He's not understanding it.
Mabel was hilarious.
Mabel was fucking great. She's my second favorite. Like, she just slim margin.
The only thing she doesn't want to do is get a job.
Yeah, right. Like, she'll literally in her sleep have dreams about talking to her mom about whining about not getting a job.
Yeah, it's fucking so great.
But the reason why I liked him so much is because of the beautiful irony they had. He's so keenly aware of his uncle's romantic shortcomings in the isekai world, yet he can't see that his childhood friend, Fujimiya.
How are you messing this up?
I only said her name like 3 times.
But, like, dang, dude. Well, how you're actually right.
Oh, was it Fujirima? Fujimiya?
Fujirima? What's Fujirima? Happening?
No, Fujimiya.
Fujimiya. Yep. Yeah.
So she...
It's just funny because you were right. You know what I mean?
I was right. I that was actually a complete land. Like I missed the landmine. She, this entire time, has not been subtle
right.
about how much she wants Takafume. But he looks at his uncle's memories in the isekai world like an isekai anime, calls out all the same bullshit, but can't recognize his inability to recognize it in himself. He literally sees her naked and then wants his uncle to use the spell to remove the memory of seeing it. That chick says, I wanted you to see me naked. And he says, you're so thoughtful. Uncle, can you please remove that memory, please?
Keeping in mind, though, when he was young, she, like, tormented him.
Right.
So,
right,
like,
right,
it is probably difficult for him to separate the two aspects of this person.
I almost don't believe that because you would think that he completely, like, would have hated the person, but, like, he still considers her a friend.
Yeah.
Despite all that.
But I think that also, like, shows that he, like, clearly had issues originally as well.
I think he's fucking aloof as well. Like, he doesn't fucking
understand.
Well, I'm not saying that's the right way to use it, but the episode has continuity, so I gotta fucking use it. So he's aloof as fuck to the clear affections of Fujimiya.
Exactly right.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so I think it actually might be a meta commentary as well, and an accurate one, that it's easier to see what you should do, like other people should do. It's harder to do the thing that you know you should do. Does that make sense?
I think it's...
Or like seeing somebody's affection for you is more difficult if you have like your own personal issues than it is for you to see somebody like in a show like, oh, she's clearly into you.
I think what you said, the second part was it, because
I rambled to some point. I don't know what it was.
That was a fantastic point because he... is like the second level of this meta where he will watch an anime, which he's doing. He's watching an isekai anime with a harem that is being projected from his uncle's memories that he actually had for 17 years and will see that, be able to comment on, oh, you're a fucking asshole, or you were completely unaware of, like, I'm clearly seeing this from a godlike view that you didn't see. But then when it is applied to his own life, he can't see the own lessons that, like,
do you remember the episode? I couldn't tell if this was like a thing or not. There was like, he was in the town center. He saw people having like parasites exploding out of their stomachs. And then he ran upstairs and like basically takes all of Mabel's clothes off and checks to make sure she doesn't have a parasite in her stomach. Then he does it to the elf. And then he had one. What the fuck was that? Was that like some weird like side plot?
I mean, that was just an adventure that he projected. Like that was just something he did.
It was just super weird.
So again,
but funny.
The uncle's memories in this show is like a kind of lightly trashy harem, and the nephew can see it for what it is,
right?
But he can't see that he also has the same ineptitude as his uncle did in the other world, because he's clearly not picking up on Fujimiya's like advances towards him. So Takafume is looking at his uncle's memories like, you're a fucking idiot, dude. Like, clearly they're into you. And then we'll pivot away from the screen into his own life and not have the ability to translate that. And clearly have a vendetta, and which I am with you on this, with like Rent a Girlfriend, right? You have these shows that could be toxic if you were to pick up some of this, you know, pick up some of the mentality. But if you watch that and look at Rent a Girlfriend and be like, all that shit's fucked up, but then can't see that you're doing it in your own life, that's a really interesting take on what, I know this is going to be shit to say, but a pretty sizable maybe amount of the anime community. Like, they look at a show and can clearly see that, like, oh, you fucked up that interaction with that hair, like, well, that chick in your harem. And
what,
like,
I will say is...
You see what I'm saying?
But these situations are not realistic to life, right?
Of course they're not.
Right,
like,
so
the,
it's
that's
like...
That's the point.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, and what you're what you're also saying is, like, okay, people that watch anime should not think that anything that is happening in anime is even remotely close to realistic, is what our overall point is.
I think that's most of my point.
Right.
I think that there are some anime where, or it's not about the anime, it's about the viewer. Because Takafume is a viewer that looks at that anime and is like, yeah, that's fucked up that you did that.
Right.
Like, that's a fucked up thing that you did that. And you clearly either A, did the wrong thing in that situation, or B, clearly didn't understand what this person was trying to convey, which was either too embarrassed or up their own ass to be able to tell you. But then they can't pivot some of that lesson to their real life. I think any form of media or storytelling can teach you something if they're trying to communicate that to you.
Well,
so I think
what I think they do a bad job of in anime is showing you how nuanced human interaction really is. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's almost never a situation where it's that fucking obvious that a girl is into you but is being a tsundere. Do you know what I'm saying?
So I think the suspension of disbelief, like you're talking about, is...
Like, the girl's not going to be shooting laser beams from a mountain away at a girl who's making advances on you in real life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Fair, but they might feel like a Facebook post from miles away that could... So what I'm getting at is that, like, it's not about the powers. It's not about what we're seeing. It's about the human and the character interactions, that there is some lessons to glean from some of the more, you know, mature and nuanced takes on relationships. Shit, there's some of the most celebrated anime of all time is literally shoujo, romance, rom-coms. Like, they're about relationships. Like, so if you...
Yeah, you're
if,
right. Light did have a really good relationship with Misa Misa.
It was one of the best. One of the best.
It's definitely like...
Everyone
I think
should
roadmap.
Model the relationship
yeah,
after
roadmap
that.
Yeah, roadmap for sure.
Yeah, that's a huge
blueprint.
Roadmap. But if you were to be one of the ones that were to see that roadmap and be like, this is a pretty fucked up thing to do to somebody else.
Right.
And you can't pivot that away to, like, your own life, then, like, that is what Takafume is kind of the character of, and that's why I think he's my favorite, because he's like he's a type of anime fan. He's a very specific type, which I think is dwindling in the modern era, but he is a very much a
dwindling. How
dwindling? Because I think of the mainstream involvement of anime, I think there's a lot of individuals that can watch not just more nuanced and mature anime because it's available, but they could see that, like, they've watched enough because it's so normalized where they're like, okay, this, like what he said in the show, right? Okay, I've seen this fucking trope before. Literally, he is hoping his uncle does not find out about the tsundere trope because he doesn't want his uncle to be distraught when he realizes that the elf was so about him. Yeah, that's really what it is, right?
Like, yeah,
he's hoping that this guy doesn't understand what actually was going on, but then...
See, here's what I'm wondering. Is it maybe a commentary on, like having read a lot of similar plots makes certain plots boring to me? Do you know what I mean? Like, so he's seen this trope so much that he's like, oh my God, if Uncle sees this trope and realizes it's a trope, he's going to be, like, kicking himself about it.
Yes. Yeah. 100%, right there. 100%.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about, like, frankly, a lot of... There's not a lot of ingenuity currently in storytelling as far as anime is.
I'll call it. There's not a lot of ingenuity in isekai.
That for fucking sure.
That's what I will say. So watching this show, Uncle in Another World, was a very interesting take because it was almost as if I was a secondary backseat driver to a primary backseat driver of an isekai, giving me already the sauce, like, about what's going on.
Right.
And then I got to, like, have the comedy of someone vibing with me, like, okay, this chick's clearly a tsundere. And then 30 seconds later, the guy that's watching this memory says, oh my gosh, she's a fucking tsundere and my uncle doesn't understand it. Like, so he's on my level. So like, my secondary commentary is like, is this guy going to learn it in the real world? Does he ever actually learn it in the isekai world when I find the later episodes? Blah, blah, blah. It's a whole like different wrinkle up, like a wrinkle application here, where you have someone doing the low hanging fruit for isekai.
Right.
They're doing all the low hanging fruit for you. So you get to like use your wrinkles for something different. And everything that the main characters say about the uncle's journey through the isekai world is like the comedy, because the comedy is very much commentating on like the low hanging fruit of common isekai tropes, which begs the final question before I give my score. Do you feel as if this show kind of requires an isekai education?
No. Okay. Thank you for asking, though, what my favorite character in the whole show was.
Well, maybe elf. This can help me with this. Yeah. Yeah.
She was just fun as fuck.
The elf?
Yeah, absolutely. She, like, stalked the shit out of him. Incredible.
She was tsundere turned to 11, but I think that was good effect for the show because it wasn't
like... And Yandere
like...
to 45, which is my favorite character type.
Yeah, she was very Yandere in the later
frankly,
half.
Frankly, the last couple of episodes where, like... He's just like randomly talking to another girl that he like gave a super expensive engagement ring to.
Well, hold on. He didn't randomly talk to her. The elf walked in on him straddling Mabel chained up with magic chains.
No, well, I'm talking about the one where they're in the forest. She's singing to him. His head's in her lap.
Yep. Yeah.
She's like killing everyone in the forest around them and then just like staring with those like insane green eyes.
Completely dead behind.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. That was great. And then also, I did mention already, but when she's like a mountain away shooting her like fucking rail gun down at the...
the heavy sword of the scabbard?
So
that
good.
That was so sick.
So good.
Yeah. Some of that... And hey, if you're an action fan, there's... many, but there's a couple pretty sweet, like, sweet scenes.
Well, yeah, so the point is, though, he's so fucking OP that every fight is pretty boring because he just one-hits everything.
Not just fights, but dungeons, too.
Right.
Like, he'll literally clap dungeons and, like, cast four spells in succession and, like, guess I found a secret path of the final end.
Right,
like,
right.
And so that's a great... This is a great way to, like, interpolize?
I don't know where you're going with it.
To condense his isekai journey, he was so powerful that he literally...
That was a bad word.
Interpolize?
I thought you were going interpolate, and then I'm like...
Interpolate. That's what I was thinking of. It still was wrong, though.
And then I'm like, internalize?
No, interpolate. He...
How about convalesce?
That's not a thing.
Yes, it is.
No way.
100,000,000%.
Okay.
Coalesce?
Coalesce is different than covalesce.
Convalesce.
Convalesce
is
not real. Coalesce is
very much real.
A real thing.
We just
coalesce
need a
is real thing.
Dictionary, dog.
Yeah, you pull that shit up right now. But what he had done was he walked in with a party into a dungeon, cast four spells in succession, found the secret entrance to the very end of the dungeon.
They're like, yay.
Yay, thank God. Like, that was completely anticlimactic. He erased their memories so they can go through the dungeon again. And then once they found the prize at the end after that second pass, he erased their memory for a second time to forget that he ever helped.
Convalesce. It is... a verb, which means to recover one's health and strength over a period of time after an illness or an operation.
Yeah, do you feel like that fit?
You were saying he was like strengthening around his center is literally what you said as an explanation of what you're trying to say.
I think what I was trying to get was condense the story down.
Right.
So I like interpolate was to like explain.
Coalesce, I think, also counts as condensing.
Yes, it does, because that I use that a lot in comp sci. I'm going to cut all of this out so it doesn't
fucking matter.
You don't
have to. I think people love the dictionary chats.
They love the dictionary.
You and I
about the linguistic bullshit right now.
What other thing were we wondering about? There was some other word that we couldn't... Oh, yeah. Aloof.
There's no fucking way.
Absolutely.
No, aloof is uninterested and uncaring. That's all it means. It does not mean any indication of knowledge.
Okay, so interesting. It's an adjective, of course.
Is it now?
Not friendly or forthcoming, cool and distant. That's the kind of, I think, the one I was going
That's
with.
That's one I think I'm seeing.
And then there's a second definition, conspicuously uninvolved and uninterested.
I think that's
typically
more
through distaste.
Yeah. Oh, so they're just like, they see this as unsavory, so they don't care.
Kind of. He stayed aloof from the bickering. Use it in a sentence. And then there's another, use it in a sentence. They were courteous, but faintly aloof. Which I think is actually pretty fucking close to uncle.
Pretty. Oh.
So
fine.
Thanks for coming to my dictionary talk.
Suck my dictionary, dude.
Like, that's funny.
Just suck that my dictionary, funny. Man. All right. End of the day, the idea of what like Uncle from Another World as a show is if you've seen an isekai before, you should fucking watch this show.
100%.
If you've never seen an isekai,
you should watch this show.
You should watch it, but then go watch an isekai and just remember. Like go watch another, like Sword Art Online. Go watch, I don't know, Shield Hero. Like, go watch some of the big names of isekai after you watch this show, because there's so much that they do in this, like project shit. Like, I don't know. It feels a little bigger. Like they're trying to do something big with like commentating on the isekai as a whole, because of the way they construct the nephew as an audience member and almost his lady friend Fujimiya, like as a secondary. As a secondary audience member, not just watching the uncle's isekai, but watching Takafumi's reaction to the isekai. And she's providing commentary on both. It's rather interesting. And if you are knowledgeable in isekai, it's going to be extremely funny. Like, it completely subverts a lot of the tropes. It completely plays on a lot of the shit. And I am a huge fan of the idea.
Yeah, I think the execution was incredible, honestly. For what you would think after reading the summary of the show,
yeah,
versus what we got,
yeah,
it just blew me away.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the best thing about it all is that there is a season 2 confirmed at the end of this season.
And they primed it for a season 2.
Hot.
Which is so funny, because even the uncle was like, oh, like Takafumi and I almost had it.
Fujimiya.
So both of them are like, well, you want to see so much more of this. There's like 14 more years to go. And he's like, oh, I got a lot of blank memories and all that shit. So there's like not too many episodes left. That's verbatim. Right. That's literally verbatim what he said. So
no, like, and then he goes like, yeah, but I was in prison for a lot of that. And they're like, what
the fuck? So like, he even called out how long the show would be, which is so fucking great. So for all of these reasons, I'm going to give it an 82 out of 100 magical ice swords.
I fucking love this show. I'm giving it an 87.
87.
It was great.
That's approaching a 90, my guy.
It is. I genuinely, so like, I liked the first 6. But I really think this wraps it up really well.
It does. It was a tight package at the end of the 13.
And
for sure.
I would say actually, like 6 to 13 was like very action packed, and it gave me a lot of the stuff I wanted. It was less like, will they, won't they, with Fujimiya and Takafumi, which I'm honestly not a massive fan of that plot point.
It was a great way to start and kind of midway through it, but they like dropped it because they're both enamored by the
fucking...
Yeah,
they're just like so into the fucking plot.
That's what I'm saying. Like all these plots, like...
Which is good because so am I.
Like they know how to backseat a plot to give the other one room. So like, so to backseat a C romance plot, both of the agents in that plot have to be enamored by another plot. And which they did that perfectly. They were both enamored by the uncle's isekai adventures from his weird magic 4K OLED no width screen. Like, it's no big deal.
Right.
he could probably make money that way. You can just make like that's fucking really flat screens on the wall. He can auto mount. Imagine him just swiping the wall and just auto mounting your TV.
Fucking true.
8K OLED. PLED. I don't even know what PLED is.
What is like actual eyeball? Obviously above 8K.
Oh, like your eyeball?
That's what I feel like he's giving them is like a memory. So like memories are like all of the different senses packed into one.
Well, the thing about eyes is that like in the center of your focal point is like 80 to like 120 megapixels, but like on your periphery is like 8. Huh. It's nothing. Well, you don't get like your eye knows like I don't got to waste space to like fucking manage like information over here, but as long as like the circle in my focal point is like super sharp, I'm good.
Right, but is it over 8K in the middle?
More to 11. We may talk about this in the syllabus sidebar. That might be something interesting to look up. But you know what? Thank you, everyone, for coming to this class about Uncle from Another World. If you would like to buy some fucking merch, we have the Weebology website up right now. It is official. It's the first time we're announcing it. Weebology.com. Fucking plot twist. It's been up for years, by the way.
Absolutely years.
Let's just call it. Let's just like, we've had this cat in the bag for a while, but we've had to get the you know, merch pipeline in the works. And now that everything is set up well, Weebology.com.
Yeah, big merch. Shout out to you, honestly, for putting in the absolute fucking work on the design side, as well as actually shipping all this out to the patrons.
Yes.
So very good job, sir.
Thank you. All the stuff we have on the Patreon is now shipping immediately when you join. If you'd like to join any of those tiers, $1 and up gets you into the Discord on patreon.com/Weebology. It will let you talk to all of our past guests and the lovely Patreon folk. $3 and up gets you the syllabus sidebar, our lo-fi, high vibe, sometimes anime, sometimes not, sometimes on hiatus, and sometimes visual show where we talk about life and things and potentially the resolution of a human eyeball. Who knows? We get into some weird medical oddities. But other tiers include as well, you can get some pins at $5, t-shirts at $25. There are and stickers of $3. Like we now have the pipeline. Everything's good to go. If you want to listen to us anywhere you get your podcast fix, you are literally on the platform right now. I know you are. You're listening to this right now. So go over and down and over 200 episodes, which means over 200 hours of anime content that we talk about on a weekly basis. If you would like to contact us, all of the places you can do so are in the description of wherever you're listening to this right now. Like, comment, subscribe, wherever you do those things. And I think we are done. I need to honestly edit this because I've had a day of design. I've had a day of creativity. It's been a lot of effort.
I think you should just let this whole thing rip. Just send it. I think they're going to love the little dictionary corner that we had.
So you're thinking I should go uncut. I'll go uncut. I'll do it.
Uncut.
You give me the uncut seal of approval, I'll do it right now.
I absolutely am down.
All right. Until I don't do any editing tonight because this is fucking uncut, I'm Ricky.
And I'm Ethan.
And this is Weebology.
Deuces.
Uncut and raw.
Peace, love, and anime.
Peace, love, and anime. And cringe. Raw, dude. It's fucking raw.